Thank you very much, Jim. Because it is vitally important that all the things that we say would be able to be attended by the Holy Spirit and therefore would be a truth coming from God. I guess I'm going to start out this morning by reading a few verses from the 11th chapter of Isaiah. I'll start at verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it that the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now we can see here that there has been a great many things happen that is prophesied of here. And as we go through this, one of the things that I wanted to call to your attention comes from Ether in the first chapter. And I'll start reading at the 29th verse. And the reason why I go back and read this is because it contains two or three things that we need to remember. And in the remembering, we, in our hearts, will be referred to some important parts that this group here plays in the activities that are talked about. Start at verse 29 on page 717. And the Lord would not suffer that they should just to give you a little history, this is when the people of Jared were coming from the Tower of Babel. And they have come to the place where now they're going to be going across the sea. And it says, and the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth even unto the promised land, which was choice above all other lands, which the Lord God had preserved for a righteous people. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared, and whoso should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other land. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decree of God. And it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the people of the land that they are swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness be come, that ye may bring down the fullness of the wrath upon you, as the inhabitants of the land has hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which hath been manifested by the things which we have written. Just to recall to your mind a little history, we sometimes have read things that have been written that our right of speech and our right to assemble like we are here and serve God according to the dictates of our heart, that those things have come to us because of our military. But we remember that God wrought upon the people who gathered themselves together to make this nation. And if you go into the history of the people that actually were involved in it, they all make mention of the fact that there was much prayer involved in their trying to put together a constitution that would be able to govern the people. And so that's where we got our constitution. And the military, as they go, and if anybody's been there, and I'm only going to repeat just a small bit of it, but it tells us that we have to be prepared to defend our nation against all enemies, foreign or domestic. Now, the foreign come pretty easy, and it's able to be understood, mostly. But when it comes to domestic, that's another matter altogether. But it's still there. And the thing that we need to recognize is the explanations that have been published by different ones who are in authority at this time, that the original formal, the people that formed the Constitution didn't intend to do this or that, even though some of the writings of the people themselves that we have been able to uncover declare very definitely that their inclusion of a following God, and it would not be able to govern a people that turned their back on God and this kind of thing. And that it was an inextricable part of the way the people had to think. And we read here, and I guess what I would like to suggest, if we could, that when we read this, each one of you put your name in, just like I would here. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, Marvin Case, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness be come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. And then it goes on and tells you that there is a God of this land and has a name of Jesus Christ. And believe me, I'm not a preacher of insurrection. That's not why we're here. We're here to cry out, spelling out, the standard that came from God of how men and women are to live and the things that they need to believe in to give them that strength to be the kind of people that God can deal with favorably. And we know that as there have become, I'm going to state it this way, I suppose, there have become more robberies and murders in the land. As these things increase, the reinterpreting of our laws also increases. What we need to remember is there is a reason for the correlation between these two things. Because when we become more wicked, we, as a nation, begin to make allowances for these things to exist and have them be part of what we have to face. And in a manner of speaking, sometimes it's all right, because sometimes people get upset and they can't control themselves. But the commandments of God tells us that that's not true. We all will want, I hope, to be a friend of Jesus Christ. And this is the thing, you know, God loves everyone. He does. No question about it. But he can't call them his followers unless they follow him. And there's a little bit more definite slant put on this. By Jesus Christ himself, and I'm going to read now, beginning at the 9th verse of the 15th chapter of St. John. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now that far, most everybody is just agreeing to beat everything. But then it goes on and says, ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you, whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So now he is kind of putting the slant on it, that if you keep his commandments, he will know that he loves you, and he can call you his friend. Sometimes we don't call it by this particular name, but a lot of times we do. That when you keep God's commandments, it is a sign not only of your desire, but of your submission to God Almighty. Because these are his commandments, and you're submitting to him by saying, I believe in your commandments, and I'm willing to do what you ask. But this small bit here that Jesus makes in his own words, where he says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And then, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life to set something up, but the achievement of the fulfilling of the opportunity that is provided by that laying down of that life has not come to fruition unless you become his friend. I hope that's not oversimplifying, because there's a lot of things that's contained in these few statements. Another thing I guess I would like to read to you is in the third chapter of Ether. And remember this, that this is, there's been two or three groups that have actually occupied this whole land. And this is one of the first. So this commandment about what's been going on, God has given the people from the very beginning so that they would know what he thought and what he would demand of them. I'm breaking into the middle of a story here again. I'm starting at verse 92 on page 734. And it came to pass that they formed a secret combination, even as they of old, which combination is most abominable and wicked above all in the sight of God. For the Lord worketh not in secret combinations, neither doth he will that man should shed blood, but in all things hath forbidden it from the beginning of man. Now I, Moroni, do not write the manner of their oaths and combinations, for it hath been made known unto me that they are head among all people, and they are head among the Lamanites, and they have caused the destruction of this people of which I am now speaking, and also the destruction of the people of Nephi. And whatsoever nation shall uphold such secret combinations to get power and gain, until they shall spread over the nation, behold, they shall be destroyed, for the Lord will not suffer that the blood of his saints, which shall be shed by them, shall always cry unto him from the ground for vengeance upon them, and yet he avengeth them not. Wherefore, O ye Gentiles, it is wisdom in God that these things should be shewn unto you, that thereby ye may repent of your sins and suffer not that these murderous combinations shall get above you, which are built up to get power and gain, and the work, yea, even the work of destruction come upon you. Yea, even the sword of the justice of the eternal God shall fall upon you to your overthrow and destruction, if ye shall suffer these things to be. Wherefore the Lord commandeth you, when ye shall see these things come among you, that ye shall awake to a sense of your awful situation because of this secret combination which shall be among you, or woe be unto it, because of the blood of them which have been slain, for they cry from the dust for vengeance upon it, and also upon those who build it up. For it cometh to pass that whoso buildeth it up seeketh to overthrow the freedom of all lands, nations, and countries. And it bringeth to pass the destruction of all people, for it is built up by the devil, which is the father of all lies, even that same liar which beguiled our first parents. So we need to remember how serious this is. And that doesn't mean that we should become afraid and panicky. That's not what I'm trying to say to you. For there's a short scripture that's over in Timothy, in Paul's letter to him, he told him that God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He wants us to think clearly. And he realizes too, and is one of the reasons why I'm trying to show you in this simple way, that to understand his word as clear as it is written, it cannot occur unless you have the assistance of the Holy Spirit to enable your mind to maintain its soundness and its clearness and its ability to appraise things properly. We need God's help in this thing. We sometimes wonder why it is that God has made it so that there is so much confusion and so many questions. But I think that is kind of cleared because people, in a large measure, don't want to be confined. They want to be able to do whatever they want to do. But God's word is not written that way. They gave Adam and Eve a great deal of liberty when they were in the Garden of Eden. It says you can eat of any of the plants and all the trees in the garden, but don't touch this one. Well, because of the humanity of man and the ability of the devil to influence them, they decided, well, you know, if I eat of this, then I'm going to be like God. They forgot that he said, not only will you be like God and you know good from evil, but you can't stay here anymore and you're going to die. They kind of went past that. But still, regardless of how they thought about it, they knew that when God found out about it, that he wasn't going to tolerate it. And another thing I think you and I need to realize, now down through the years I've heard, well, that was Eve's fault that happened. Well, in a way, I suppose you could say that. Or you could say it was the serpent's fault, it was the devil, and it was his fault. But when justice was meted out by the Almighty, if you'll notice, he didn't leave anybody out. Everybody had their penalty to pay. Everybody is personally responsible for whatever they do, whatever the pressure is on them. They're personally responsible. You know, whether they let themselves own this, if that's the right way to say it, doesn't matter. They still own it if they did it. And you can say, well, so-and-so caused me to do it, but I was told one time when I was in the hospital a long time ago by a heavenly messenger, if he did that, I'll hold him responsible for that. But you did this, and you're responsible for that. So we all, simply, as people and individuals, human beings, as we are, have to recognize, and in the recognition of really owning up and facing our God and asking for his help to be the kind of person we need to be, just like this morning, we sang a song here, Come Holy Ghost, give him your heart. That's what we're trying to do. If we're going to preserve our land, and I've had people say in and out of the church that they think that our government will disintegrate. But I'm not trying to forecast that. What I am telling you, God's work will be done. The prophecies tell us that this land will be purified. I've had people tell me, well, that's going to come in the millennium. I guess what I would say to you is, don't bank on that. We're going to have to go through this and do our part all along the way, each and every one of us. And the fact that you are here makes me realize that this little bit that's written in the 12th chapter of 3rd Nephi by Mormon as he was trying to do the things that God said. Because St. John makes mention long toward the end of that book. It says he can't write in this book 100th part of what the Lord Jesus had said. And if everything that he said had been written, he thought it would, because of the way they wrote in that day, I suppose, is that there wasn't a building that he knew about could house it. Maybe it would include the whole world. But this is what's being said here. I'll start at verse 1 on page 671. Now there cannot be written in this book even 100th part of the things which Jesus did truly teach unto the people. But behold, the plates of Nephi do contain the more part of the things which he taught the people. And these things have I written, which are a lesser part of the things which he taught the people, and I have written them to the intent that they may be brought again unto this people from the Gentiles according to the words which Jesus had spoken. And when they shall have received this, which is expedient that they should have first, to try their faith, to see whether they have faith in this Jesus Christ, and they're willing to accept the fact that all the things that he said are true, and that without him there is no salvation, no mercy, none of those things for you and I. And when they shall have received this, which is expedient that they should have first, to try their faith, and if it so be that they shall believe these things, then shall the greater things be made manifest unto them. And if it so be that they will not believe these things, then shall the greater things be withheld from them unto their condemnation. Behold, I was about to write them all which were engraven upon the plates of Nephi, but the Lord forbid it, saying, I will try the faith of my people. Therefore I, Mormon, do write the things which have been commanded me of the Lord. Once more, this servant brother of ours back in that day is saying, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn now to the 5th chapter of Alma. And these are the words of Alma, the son of Alma, the one that was stricken down on the way with the sons of Messiah. But I think it's important that we understand what he's trying to say here and how he separates it out. I'll begin at verse 12 on page 323. Yea, I trust that you do not worship idols, but that you do worship the true and living God. You know, there's a couple of places in the other place that I read talking about worshiping the true and the living God. And it says it again here. And in the prayer of Jesus, when he was praying that last time for his disciples and for you and I, we're all in that prayer. But he starts it out close to the front and he says, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Now I'd like to go back to what we're reading here. "The true and living God, that ye look forward to the remission of your sins with an everlasting faith, which is to come. For behold, I say unto you that there shall be many things to come, and behold, there is one thing which is more importance than they all." All the things that are to come, there's one thing that's more important than any of the rest. Now, what, pray tell, is that? "For behold, the time is not far distant that the Redeemer liveth and cometh among his people. Behold, I do not say that he will come among us at the time of his dwelling in his mortal tabernacle. For behold, the Spirit hath not said unto me that this should be the case. Now as to this thing I do not know, but this much I do know, that the Lord God hath power to do all things which are according to his word." Now see, that's a confinement even to the Almighty. He has power to do any and all of these things which are according to his word. He goes by his own rules. "But behold, the Spirit has said this much to me, saying, Cry unto this people, saying, repent ye, and prepare the way of the Lord, and walk in his paths which are straight." So what we're saying here is, the wording of this makes it so, this man is doing things similar over here to what John the Baptist did over there. Make his path straight. Let the people know about it. Let him know how strict it is. "For behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the Son of God cometh upon the face of the earth. And behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our forefathers. She being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel, who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God. And he shall go forth, suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And this, that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and sicknesses of his people, and he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. Now the Spirit knoweth all things, nevertheless the Son of God suffereth according to the flesh, that he might take upon him the sins of his people, that he might blot out their transgressions according to the power of his deliverance. And now behold, this is the testimony which is in me. Now I say unto you that ye must repent and be born again. For the Spirit saith, if you are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith on the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, which is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, and lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction. Yea, come and go forth, and shew unto your God that ye are willing to repent of your sins, and enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments and witness it unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism. And whoso doeth this and keepeth the commandments of God from thenceforth, the same will remember that I say unto him, yea, he will remember that I have said unto him, he shall have eternal life, according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit, which is in me. He picked this out and said, out of all these things that I can talk to you about, this one thing has more importance to you and to me than anything else. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot let the intimidation of others cause us to not feel this in our hearts, to not discuss it and declare it to each other. We cannot avoid the responsibility of the firmness and the steadfastness that we must possess to help each other face this wave that is coming across our nation to try to get us to not use that name anymore. And now we even have a president that has said that we are not a Christian nation anymore. Brothers and sisters, I hope this comes to us in a way that says, not a Christian? I can't live without being a Christian, a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must do this because it's the only thing that guarantees us life. Because the Lord Jesus has said himself that he was alive and the light of the world. And he tells us that we should hold our light up so that men might see. And that the light that we hold up is him, Jesus Christ. The things that we had seen him do. The things that we have read about that he did. And the power of his Holy Spirit. That Holy Ghost that he promised, that's written about more specifically in the 14th chapter of St. John. But it's written about all through the scriptures. None of these things could be true. Was it not that this beloved Lord of Jesus Christ came and did his job? He was not here because he just loved us. He was sent on a mission because he loved his Father and he loved us. He could do that mission, and he did that mission, never losing his focus. Under threat of death, or whatever threat came to him, he remembered what he was doing, why he was doing it, and that it had to be done. If not so, you and I would not be able to be forgiven of our sins because there would be no mercy. Because he did this, mercy is held out to us, which if we repent of our sins and be a truly penitent individual, I'm going to say on an ongoing way, according to his word, we can be saved. And because he came, there can be a resurrection. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. He broke the bands of death. Without him doing that, you and I wouldn't be able to look forward to that. And this eternal life that he speaks of here, eternally being able to live with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. What are we going to do? I don't know for sure what all we're going to do. But you know, there is one thing that I know. Because I felt it in the past. I know some of you have. But as we do these things, and we feel the strength and the intensity of the Holy Spirit, it brings a joy and a feeling of love for each other to the hearts of each one of us that's unable to be put in words. Because it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If these things be in you, you are in a state of happiness. I hope we all want to be happy. And without this, you can look at people in the world and all their riches and power that many of them possess. And if you get into their lives, you find out, in my appraisal anyway, I haven't seen very many of them that were happy in their situation. There's always something else that's left out that they feel like they need. But if we're there in this eternal existence and we're filled with that Holy Ghost, you will be happy whatever you're doing. I hope this means a great deal to you. It does to me. It means a great deal to me to be able to talk to you about these things, because they're vital to our existence. Got a grandson that I've been talking to about some of them. And as he is beginning to believe, understand, and realize some of the things, he's able to do a better job of controlling his own emotions. And he's had a great deal of trouble with that. The need of having God in our lives to help us do the things, to control ourselves, is immeasurable. Sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes we get upset and we lose a grip on understanding of it, but it's always there. So pray for me, brothers and sisters, and I'll be praying for you that we all can believe in and serve this God with all of our heart and soul.